Now we're going to read from John's Gospel. If you have a Bible or you can look on with someone, John's Gospel chapter 15. This is a continuation of the series or the theme that has been outlined already. And beginning has been made, I understand, to that. And this is focusing on the statements that were made by the Lord Jesus Christ. The famous I am statements, where he uses those simple words to describe himself and his life, his ministry, and especially his relationship with his own disciples. So John's Gospel chapter 15, we're just going to read a very short portion from the beginning of this chapter. John 15 and the verse 1, the Lord Jesus said, I am the true vine. And my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. We'll end the reading there at verse 6, and we trust that God will bless a brief reading of his own word to all of our hearts this evening. Well, we join in a moment's prayer as we come to think about God's word this evening. May the Lord draw near to us and give us help as we endeavor to focus on his word tonight. Our God and Father, we're thankful for the opportunity given to draw aside unto thee, to seek thy face, to look to thee for help. We thank thee for what has taken place already tonight. We thank thee for the singing of these old hymns and choruses, and we thank thee for the words that have conveyed already to our minds and hearts something of the truth of thy word. Thank thee for every young person here, for thy presence with each one already through another day, and for enabling us to be here at the center of this gathering tonight. We pray that thou wilt overshadow this time, grant us thy presence, give us help, undertake for us in these moments. We pray especially for the help of the Holy Spirit and for thy hand to be upon us for good. Do undertake, Lord, we pray, and give us help now. Speak to me and speak through me. Use me according to thy will. We ask it all in the Savior's name. Amen. The closing words of the chapter 14 in John's Gospel form an important introduction to what is said in chapter 15. If you look right at the end of John chapter 14, you will find these words, arise, let us go hence. When he uttered these words, the Lord Jesus Christ led his disciples from the meeting room and passing through the streets of Jerusalem, they soon found themselves in some secluded spot on the slopes of Mount Olivet. There they stopped, for it was in this quiet place that Christ would continue to prepare them for the dramatic days to come. And I feel sure that it was in looking at the fertile ground before him that the Savior discovered a beautiful emblem of himself. And so we have the opening words in chapter 15. He says, I am the true vine. I am the true vine. In other words, I am the real, the essential, the spiritual vine. of which these earthly vines are but the shadow and the image. And in this way, he began another rich vein of teaching, which had as its starting point a simple illustration from the world of nature. If you are at all familiar with the gospel record, you will know that many, many times the Savior employed things that he saw around him to teach very important lessons. And of course, that is exactly what is happening now in the verses that we have just read. I want you to see and to understand tonight that these verses have to do, first and foremost, with the relationship between Christ and his people. That's what this passage is all about, the relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and his people, his disciples, you, if you're a Christian. That was very important to those who were with him on that occasion all of those years ago, and I trust that it is no less important to us as we are gathered here tonight around God's Word. But we're thinking about this image, we're thinking about the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ described himself using the analogy of the vine. Now there are four things that I want to point out as we focus on this passage tonight. First of all, I want to say a word or two about the picture of the vine. The picture of the vine. Notice, if you will, these words in verse 5, the early part of the verse. He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. Then what is it that the Lord Jesus Christ has in mind by employing this image? I want to suggest to you that it is the closeness of the relationship which exists between himself and the Christian. He wants us to see and to realize and to understand that this is a very close relationship indeed. And it is this which is so impressively depicted in the vine and, of course, in the branches which flow from it. He is the vine. We are the branches. The union between the branch of a vine and the main stem is the closest that can be imagined. It's the whole secret of the life and the strength and the vigor, the beauty and the fertility that is possessed by the branch. Separate from the main stem, if you like, it has no life. It has no life of its own. The sap and the juice that flow from the stem are the origin and indeed the maintaining power of all its leaves and its buds and its flowers and its fruit. Cut off from the stem, it must soon wither and die. So the union between the Lord Jesus Christ and his followers is just as close and it's just as real. Just as the same life abides in the vine and in the branches, well, the same life which is found in its fullness in Christ is also found in some measure in every one of his disciples, every Christian, the same life. Just as the same Spirit poured out upon Christ and received by him without measure, well, that same Spirit in measure is given to his people. It's given to you. It's given to me. In ourselves, we have no life. We have no strength. We have no spiritual power. Everything that we possess of vital religion comes to us from Christ. We are what we are. We feel what we feel. We do what we do because we draw out of Christ a continual supply of grace and help and ability. If you're a Christian here tonight, you are joined to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. You have received him. You are united to him in this rather mysterious union. You're joined to him. Everything good about you is drawn from your spiritual head, even Christ. What a picture the Lord Jesus Christ is giving us when he says simply, I am the vine and you are the branches. There are two things, of course, that we might say in respect of this, because if you think about this great union that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ, that is a comfort to us in distress. It's a comfort in distress. We have no cause to despair of our own salvation or to wonder if we will ever complete the journey that is the Christian life. We're not left to ourselves. We're not left to our own strength. Our root is Christ. And everything that there is in the root, or everything, if you like, that there is in that main stem, is to the benefit of every one of the branches. Because He lives, we shall live also. And we have that ultimate encouragement as we seek to live our lives in this world. We have the comfort of knowing that not only are we joined to others who are true believers, but first and foremost, we are joined to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a connection, that is a union that cannot be broken. It cannot be broken. So there's a comfort there, but then the reality of this union means that there's also a challenge as well. There's a challenge here that we should depend upon the Lord Jesus Christ. If the Lord Jesus Christ is everything that we have said, if He is our life, if He is our strength, if He is our power, then we must never stop depending completely on Him. Never stop depending on Him. We must look to Him in everything and for everything. Our dependence on Christ must be absolute. It's then that the resources of Christ will really flow to us, and that we will prove the sufficiency of His goodness and His grace. Even as we reflect upon our own weakness, and I'm sure as we have sought to live our lives for the Lord in this world, there have been many times when we have felt that weakness. And if you study the lives of those whose stories are told in the Scriptures, you will very quickly understand that your feeling of weakness was shared by those believers who have gone before you. I think of the story of Paul, given to us at such length in the New Testament Scriptures. There was a time in Paul's life when he came to say, well, I actually am glad of my weakness. I rejoice in my weakness. Because when I am weak, and when I'm brought to see and to understand just how weak I am, it is in those moments that I reach out after Christ. And I learn to depend upon Him more. And if we, of course, have that sense, then we too will reach out to Christ. We will depend upon Him. We will rest on Him. And that is what we must do if we are to succeed in living our lives in this world. So we have the picture of the vine. But then I want you to notice, secondly, the productivity of the vine. The productivity of the vine. You'll notice again in verse 5, the Savior says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Especially that statement at the heart of the verse, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. The Lord refers to the bearing of fruit. The fact that this vine, this plant that He is using to convey the truth that He's wishing to set down here, is a productive plant. It's a fruit-bearing plant. And of course, the choice of the vine is particularly appropriate because this plant has always been renowned for its fruit-bearing qualities. Year after year, satisfying the expectations of the grower, year after year, giving abundant evidence that it is alive, the branches bowed down by the weight of the latest crop of grapes. So this was an exceedingly productive plant. And of course, there are a couple of things that we should take from all of this. First of all, we have the thought that bearing fruit is the evidence of life for the Christian. Bearing fruit is the evidence of life. This is the unmistakable conclusion that we can draw from these words that we have noted in verse 5. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. It's as if the Lord Jesus Christ is saying this. If you're a Christian, you will bear fruit. Simple as that. If you are my disciple, you will bear fruit. I have no doubt that in making this observation, the Lord Jesus Christ had in mind especially that which the Scripture describes as the fruit of the Spirit. And I'm sure you know some of the verses that detail those distinguishing qualities or marks of the person who is a genuine believer, a living branch, if you like, in the true vine. Paul talks about this fruit over in the letter that he writes to the churches of Galatia, in Galatians chapter 5. And if you look there in Galatians 5 and the verses 22 and 23, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit, and the sense of those words there is the fruit that is produced by the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And you see a series of qualities here, and Paul is reminding us that these are the qualities, these are the characteristics that ought to be found in a genuine Christian. So if you are a genuine Christian, if you are part of this vine, if you have been brought to receive Christ, then your life ought to be characterized by love and by joy and peace and patience and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. These are the kind of qualities that we expect to see in the person who lives the life of a Christian. And of course, we may not succeed in manifesting these qualities all of the time. There may be days when we are not at our best, and these things are missing. But they are the fruit that the Holy Spirit will produce in the heart and life of a true Christian. Where these things are lacking, altogether lacking, it is vain to talk of possessing grace and spiritual life. Remember how the Lord Jesus put it? We have his words there in Luke's Gospel chapter 6. And the verse 44, he said, for every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. And you know this very well. If you go out to the apple tree, you don't expect to gather grapes from an apple tree. You go to the pear tree, you don't expect to find bananas. The tree is known by its fruit. You recognize the tree, you identify the tree by the fruit that it bears. And that's the very important lesson that the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching here. If you have a genuine interest in me, if you really are my follower, if you really are a Christian, that is something that will be seen by your fruit, by the kind of person you are, by the qualities you manifest as you live your life in this world. And of course, we are also shown in this verse that in order to bear this fruit, the believer must abide in Christ. He must abide in Christ. She must abide in Christ. He says, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And the point, of course, is reinforced in the previous verse. Verse 4 says, abide in me, and I in you, as the branch, listen to it now, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. If you want to have this life that is characterized by fruitfulness, if you want to be a fruit-bearing Christian, then you have to abide in Christ. That's the great secret of bearing fruit. We must continue to abide in Christ. What does that mean? Well, it means that we will have a continual sense of our need of him. Not just that we needed him before salvation, or even at the point of our salvation, but that we continue every single day of our lives to have need of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must never lose sight of our own insufficiency. The hymn writer says, I need thee every hour. Most gracious Lord. And we might go further than that. We might even say, we need you, Lord, every minute, every second of every day. It means something more. It means that we continue then to see Christ as the all-sufficient Savior. He is ours. He is able to equip us for the tasks of life, whatever they might be, whatever life throws at us, whatever challenges life brings upon us, whatever troubles or trials we have to face, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to equip us so that we can get through those things and so that we can live our lives for Him in such a way that He will be honored and glorified by how we live. It means that we will continue to trust Him. We trusted Him to lift us out of the mire. Well, then let us trust Him to keep us on the rock. Let's depend on Him for wisdom and righteousness and strength, because He will not fail. And it means that we will stick to Him. We will cleave to His truth and to His cause and to His people and to His work. We will stand up for the Lord. If we're really abiding in Christ, it means that we will stand for Him. Whatever the temptations are, whatever the tests that come our way, we will stand up for Him and be faithful to Him. We will not depart from Him. Let me point out something else. Let me show you, thirdly, the purging of the vine. The purging of the vine. This is spoken of in the second half of the second verse. It says, every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. The word that is translated purge here is a word which simply means to clean. It speaks of the husbandman or the vine dresser, the person who's responsible for looking after the vine, purging the vine of what is unhealthy. And part of that process may mean that he draws off the infected sap by making incisions with a knife, and so preserving the vine for future usefulness. He wants to get rid of the thing that might destroy the fruitful branch. And of course the parallel is plain, because much in the same way, God is at work purifying and sanctifying believers by the use of various means. God has a purpose for your life. I do not want you to think that once you become a Christian, that's the end of it. You've received the Savior. Done. You've arrived. You've only started. And there's a sense in which God has only started with you. He's only started. And He wants to make you more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to make you the kind of person who will be recognized as belonging to Christ. And in order to do that, He has to work in your life. And sometimes He has to work in a way that you perhaps wish He didn't have to work in. So He may use trial, for example, or trouble. He might bring you into situations in life that you would never choose to be in. But in those circumstances, He might draw out your good qualities. He might wean you away from the world and draw you back to the Savior. He might show you your need and bring you more and more to the Scriptures and to the place of prayer. In this way, He's purging you. And this purging is so very often necessary if we are to bear fruit as we should. And I tell you this, it is the Lord's purpose for every one of you that you should be a fruitful Christian. And so He will purge us. Painful? Well, yes. But profitable at the end of the day, of course. Let's not overlook what is very often the vital instrument in this purging, and it is the Word of God. it's the most pointed purging tool, because if you notice here, at the end of the second verse, it says, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. And then immediately in verse 3, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. God uses his word in this purging process. When he wants to clean up our lives, when he wants to rid those lives of things that will be a hindrance, when he wants to get you back on track, he will use his word, the word that you read, the word that you study, the word that you hear preach. He will use that word to clean your life, if you like. And of course, that is that we might be fruitful, that we might thrive, and that we might be everything the Lord wants us to be. And so if the Lord takes his word and he applies it to your heart in a powerful way, don't rebel against it. Don't shut your ears. Don't shut your heart. But rather receive that word and seek to allow your life to be guided by it. I will finish by just mentioning finally the pruning of the vine. The pruning of the vine. We've talked about the purging, but this is something altogether different. The pruning of the vine, because the verse 2 begins, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Now, this is a different kind of branch. The second part of the second verse talks about branches that are bearing fruit. And the Lord deals with those branches so that they will bear still more fruit. But here are branches, and there's no fruit. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And notice verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. What the Lord is doing here is speaking of those useless and unsightly branches which are only fit to be cut off and burned. They draw nothing really out of the stem. They make no return, if you like, for the place that they occupy. What do these branches represent? They represent those who are mere professors in the church. They have a profession, but nothing more. They are what we sometimes call nominal Christians. They have a name, but there's no reality there. There's no reality. They appear to be part of the church, but inwardly there's no life, there's no real spiritual life. And because there's no life, there's no fruit. There's no fruit. I wonder if I might be speaking to such a person here tonight. You may even have the appearance of a Christian life, but you know in your heart you do not have Christ. You know in your heart you're not really joined to him. The pruning of vines in Israel was a prolonged process. First of all, it was done in the month of March, and the vine dresser would come along and he would look at the vines and he would make an assessment, and some of the branches he would recognize immediately. There's no life there. We just have to cut that off and get rid of it. And he would see others and he would say, well, I don't know about that one. Maybe there's hope for that one. And so he would come back again the next month, the month of April, and he would go through the same procedure. And perhaps some of those branches that had been spared would this time be taken away. And still others he would say, well, maybe there's hope still. And then finally he would come back the next month, the month of May, and he would go through the process for the last time. And after that, all hope would be at an end. course, when we think of that, it reminds us of the great mercy of God, because he is so merciful in the way that he deals with us, and he doesn't cut us off. He is long-suffering. The God who wants us to be long-suffering is himself the greatest possible example of long-suffering. He doesn't cut us off. And maybe I'm speaking to someone here tonight and you've rejected the Savior. Maybe you've done that many, many times. Well, you're here tonight. And the Lord in his mercy has brought you here, given you opportunity again to receive him, to trust him, to follow him. Or maybe I'm speaking to a believer here tonight and the Lord has been so merciful to you. And he has spoken to you. He has outlined some plan or purpose that he has for your life. He wants you to go down a particular road. He wants you to leave off a particular practice. He wants you to change direction. You haven't done it. But he hasn't cut you off. He hasn't forsaken you. He's merciful. He's giving you another opportunity. I trust this evening that you will receive the word that the Lord has for you. You'll react to that word in the right way. And in so reacting, you will demonstrate that you really are one of his branches. You belong to the vine. And you are fruitful in following your Savior. I trust you are. I trust that God will bless you and be with you in the days that lie ahead.